Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by DJ Bienemy. Follow him on Twitter at DJ Bienemy. Follows the Texans for the ESPN and ESPN.com. DJ, I want to ask about these injuries. We saw the injury report. Aziz is out. Toa Toa is questionable, the concussion. Jimmy Ward with the groin, he's out. But what about Lassiter? Lassiter is back. What was the level of the injury with Lassiter?
He had a little shoulder injury, but it wasn't too bad. I mean, obviously, he did a couple of games. I don't think it's because something's going to linger throughout the year. Because it wasn't like, I've seen him in the locker rooms. I haven't seen him when he's taking off his pads or whatever, having like that shoulder brace that guys sometimes have. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any of that. So I don't think it's gonna be that serious. I don't think it's gonna linger throughout the rest of the year at all. I think he should be fine.
DJ, on that same front though, we're talking about injuries. Any updates on Christian Harris? I mean, we know the linebacking core added with White this week, but we also know that, you're going to lose the quarterback of the defense in El Shaair. And where are we on Christian Harris now?
Still waiting. It doesn't sound like he's going to be back soon. I think he still has probably got a couple more weeks, maybe a few more weeks. When it comes to Christian Harris, I've seen him around the locker room, and he's in good spirits. This is how I look at it, because I'm always big about your actions, not your words. If Brandon Harris was near, we wouldn't see Devin White being signed to that 53-man roster. He was signed to the 53-man roster, not to the practice squad. He was signed to the 53-man roster. If he's picked up enough of the defense, he'll be out there, he'll be out there on Sunday. If he's picked up, he's only been there a couple of days. But if he's picked up enough of the defense, I could see him being out there, whether it's special teams, whether it's, not quarterbacks, but playing linebacker or whatever, getting a couple of reps. Because I also think that obviously, Henry Tolotolo practiced on Wednesday, but then practiced on Thursday, and obviously practiced today. Today's a super, super, super light day. So it's not a guarantee he'll be out there concussion protocol by the game time. You usually need 3 straight days, but I will say what they do on Saturdays, their walkthrough on Saturdays can technically count towards that. So towards being able to get out of the concussion protocol. So if he's able to go through that with no issues, then I think that we should see him on Sunday.
Down one linebacker with Aziz, maybe two. We'll see with Henry Toa Toa with that questionable designation. What do you think they're going to be able to do against this running attack with Indy? Jonathan Taylor is going to be back. Anthony Richardson making another start. Do you think they'll be shorthanded there? Is that an area of concern?
Nah, not at all, man. I think they did a pretty good job in week one holding Jonathan Taylor to under 50 yards. Jonathan Taylor's coming off an ankle injury. He missed the last 3 games. So, I'm not saying that he'll maybe, start some of the effects, because Joe Mixon missed 3 games, and then he's gone for 100 yards both games since he's been back, 104 and then 115. So, but I think schematically they match up well with their rushing attack. And again, I'll be honest, they're probably going to sell out to stop the run, because I'm going to be very frank, Anthony Richardson just isn't an accurate quarterback at all. And the thing is his average intended air yards per attempt is like 12. But on throws over 10 yards, he's completing like 38% of those throws. And Texans on throws over 10 yards are holding teams, quarterbacks are only completing 32% of those throws. So what he likes to do, the Texans this year have shown that is a strength of theirs. Granted, yes, week one, they had, you know, he was able to complete some big passes. But that's week one, man. Like, week one's a weird week. And it was blown coverages. It wasn't like he was really, like, icing them up and was able to get, you know, passes where they needed to go. He only completed 9 passes in that game. And he still completed under 50% of his passes in that game. So, man, I think that I know we're going to eventually get to, you know, predictions and all that. But, like, I think this is a game that the Texans should win by at least, man, like, at least 13 points. Like, and I'm because, again, like, if they stop, you know, they should be able to stop the run. And once they do that, like, I just don't envision a scenario where Anthony Richardson is going to be able to overcome the fact of him not having a good run game. You know, like, 3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, man, like, I'm not sure why he doesn't get the same smoke that Will Levis gets right now. Because we'll be honest, everybody's holding on to like those few quarters of his rookie year, but like that was a long time ago. You know, like, that was over 100. That was over 300. That was almost like over 300. No, almost 400 days ago. Like, updated resume, and his updated resume has been like abysmal. So,
and DJ, that's, you know, that's where I was kind of going, is the fact that, look, we even talked about the Richardson aspect, but from week one, how big of a difference are these two teams from where we saw them in week one to now? Because we know Buckner's coming back for them, but we know they're focused on and have to be focused on stopping a guy they couldn't stop in Joe Mixon. But from a Texans perspective, regardless of who's in the secondary, we know that Richardson missed some throws, but he had a couple of big bombs that were there for the taking and they just didn't make them. And how do the Texans have to be more focused and adjust on the fact that that deep ball was there and they got to be ready for it again?
Yeah, but I think those are easy fixes because it wasn't like there wasn't a single one outside of like the Pierce one where, like, you know, he just kind of they ran by everybody. And obviously the Pierce one, but like even with that one, that was a blown coverage because Jimmy Ward, instead of, you know, staying over the top, he bit a little bit and then the guy ran past him, you know? And that was that. And then like with the other one, that went for like 60 something yards. Again, like, if Aziz is able to get in that one spot, they're fine. And then again, like, that was for system because, you know, people had bad pursuit angles. Or, like, that. I believe there's another one. It's escaping my mind right now. But even on that one, I remember it. Like, again, like, if you gotta get back, so you gotta make plays on the ball. I left that game thinking, like, oh, the pass defense was fine. Even, like, you know, there was that one play where A.D. Mitchell got bad by Stingley and Kamari. Like, they'll be prepared for that because, like, that it was double moves. And double moves, like, you know, I'm not saying double moves don't move me, but if I'm on a bigger point, if you got to run double moves to get by me, then that means you can't get by me without trickeration. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, so I'm really not worried about the pass defense and defending the deep ball. As long if they keep everything in front and force him to throw underneath, I don't want to say it's gonna get bad, but it could get bad for the Colts, and it could be something. You look up and it's like, oh snap, it's 20-3. It's like 8 minutes left in the game, you know, because they couldn't even like outscore, like they barely outscored Miami, who has no quarterback. Like, Anthony Richardson was bad in that game. He was 10 for 24. He was abysmal, you know? So, I'm not worried about the deep ball. I'm not worried about much regarding Anthony Richardson and their pass attack.
So, a lot has been made of the offensive line because of everything in Green Bay, and we know it's been a topic of conversation all week long. We know they're not going to do anything personnel-wise changes. Are we to believe that it is all fixable, that they are fixing it this week, and that we're going to see a totally different type of result this week?
But I think the biggest indicator right now is road versus home. That's the biggest indicator. Because against the Packers, 4 sacks. Against the Vikings, I believe, 4 sacks. Against the Colts, 4 sacks. All the road games, they struggle protecting, you know, picking up the stunts and things of that nature. Well, they're not going on the road this week, you know. Like, they're going to be at home. So I'm not too worried about that. And another thing, too, like, you know, having talked to a few guys, they're all just like, man, we just got to execute better. It's not like, you know. And some of them, like, we get out scheme. Like, I had one player tell me that the stack where Xavier McKinney was able to get CJ, he was like, no, we just got scheme on that one. Like that's going to happen, right? Like, sometimes DCs get paid too, man. Like, DCs are going to make plays. Like, you know, it happens. And then, like, even like the one on the first drive where, you had, it wasn't a sack, but it was a pressure, and she had to roll out, and then you tried to throw the Darby, but they ended up selling for a field goal. Like, that one, you know, he was like, yeah, that one, we got schemed out on that one too. And that happened, you know. Obviously, the other stunts, they got to be better there. But it's just kind of that execution. Like, one was like, it's not even coaching. For real, it's just more like we got to over communicate on the road. So, really, like, am I just be transparent? Like, this week is it going to indicate anything either way? Because for me, it's more about can they do it on the road? Even if they struggle a little bit at home, that won't bother me because I've seen them be fine at home. It's more about the road. The road feels like more of a consistent thing because of cloud noise. And them not over communicating, right? Because like one guy was telling me, there's times where the line call doesn't make it to the tackles because they're not, you know, one guy, you know, guy doesn't hear it or he says it. Like let's say hypothetically, Juice is coming to line call, and you tell Shaq, and then Shaq tries to tell Titus, and Titus can't hear it, or you know, Titus can't hear it, Titus. Right. Or if it's, that's right, where Kyle, you know, Juice tells, Kenyon tells Laramie, but like Laramie doesn't hear it, or Kenyon doesn't hear it because it's just so loud. You know what I mean? So that's that. Like, I asked one of the players about, if, you know, cause I thought maybe there's an issue there because, you know, Kenyon, you know, Juice is a young player. They're like, nah, you're actually making a lot of good calls. Like, you're making a lot of good calls. So, like, that's not really an issue. So, I'm like, all right, cool. So, at least now I have that stowed away. It's not necessarily him in that aspect. I asked, like, what if they're just scheming against him? It's like, nah, because they don't know our call. So, it's not like they can necessarily be, like, scheming against whatever call that we're going to make. Maybe they might know, because sometimes they make it at the line of scrimmage. You know what I'm saying? So, I think that for me, it's more about what it looks like on the road because it's more of a communication thing than it is anything else.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. DJ, great great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
DJ Bienema joining us on the HRNP guest line. Follow him on Twitter at DJ Bienema for all of your Texans' wants, desires, and needs. We're going to get our toast of the week when we come back. Also, Tony Perastica. He's the third base coach, the new third base coach for the Houston Astros. He is also listed as a run prevention coordinator. I believe this is the first time I've seen this in baseball. What are the weirdest job titles that you've seen in sports? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Tony Perastica, run prevention coordinator for the Astros. What are the weirdest job titles we've seen in sports? 713-780-3776. But first, time for our toast of the day. Who are you toasting this week? 713-780-3776. Who are you toasting, Blankers?
I am raising my Stella Rosa Black Cherry in honor of Fernando Valenzuela. one of the greatest left-handed pitchers that I saw and loved watching when he was in his heyday. And just the fact that he's gone too soon is one thing. But people forget how dominant he was. And there was a clip on social media about the 1 year where he had 20 complete games that he won the Cy Young, I think it was. But he was unbelievable for that window of time when he was at his peak. So passed away, I think, in the last week, but definitely raised a glass for Fernando.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that. I used to love the look to the heavens. Mm-hmm. That was
His windup was awesome.
Thank you for interrupting me, Brian. I was going to get to all that.
What? You mentioned the windup.
Look to the. I couldn't get in there fast enough. He's like Carl Lewis out of the gates. Go Cougs. No, that was my. I loved the look to the heavens. So yeah, that's a good call. I'll raise my glass, Brian. Do you want to finish what I was going
to
say?
No, I know I would. I would not like to.
Who are you raising your glass to?
I'd like to raise my glass to Paul Gallant, who finally had a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup today for the first time in his life at age 35.
Man, if
welcome to the world, Paul Gallant.
If Paul's doing that for the first time at 35, what are the other things he's doing at 35?
That feels like a Wills and Bits for next week.
What else is he doing for the first time at 35?
It is.
I just kept thinking, like, what kind of parameters did you have as a child to not try, at least try, a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup?
Yeah. I'm worried, man. Maybe he was, they didn't allow him to eat sweets, or I wonder if he was, kind of, what is it called? Whenever you're holding
repressed.
A kid back? Yeah.
Repressed,
maybe
yeah.
He was repressed as a child over there, in, whether it was the Northeast or it was the Southeast of Florida.
That's crazy,
man. Just wondering. It makes you wonder. Makes you question. But this is very good, Blinkers.
That's very, very good. Rose. Yeah, the Stella Rose of Black Cherry. It's the balance of classic semi-sweet flavors. A red blend. It goes well with spicy foods. Fruits, cheeses, what do you call it?
Charcuterie board. My wife loves a charcuterie board.
And desserts.
This is very good.
It is tasty.
I am enjoying this. Thanks you for allowing me to have some of your vino.
Available at your local retailers, but please celebrate responsibly.
Yeah, I like that little catchphrase too. It's a good catchphrase. 218-80. I'm not gonna read what you said, but it makes you wonder, right? If he's doing that at the age of 35 for the first time, what are other things at the age of 35 that Paul Gallant's doing for the first time? All right, so Tony Perestica, he's the new third base coach for the Houston Astros. He's going to be the infield coach, which is good because the Astros need a little bit of help defensively, especially if they're replacing Bregman. But he's also been given the title as run prevention coordinator. I have never seen a run prevention coordinator in baseball. Maybe I've overlooked it. Maybe it does exist. This is the first time that I have seen it, though. He is the run prevention coordinator for the Houston Astros, which is a great title, right? Because, that's half the job, right? Preventing the other team from scoring runs. But what are the weirdest job titles that you've seen in sports? 713-780-3776. What sticks out to you, Blank?
I got a couple from personal experience. The first is Mike D'Antoni naming an NBA assistant coach his defensive coordinator.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was so weird. Like,
makes
that's
sense,
a football
though.
Term. It does.
It does make sense.
And also because he wanted to blame him because he was an offensive-minded coach. If the defense sucked, he needed someone to blame.
What was his name?
Jeff Bezdelic.
Bezdelic. Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah, that's right. Jeff Bezdelic coached the Grizzlies?
Can't
remember.
Was he ever
a
head coach?
He was for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a head coach for a little bit. I can't remember where it was, though. What was the other one?
And then the other one was, when working in the Rockets front office, 1 year we had a change at the very, very top with our president, and he decided to, give people promotions or give them different titles, and he named a woman chief of staff.
That's not so bad.
And secretary of state. And we're like,
secretary of state's kind of weird.
Now, we're not in a political office or a cabinet. We're in a front office of a basketball team, and we were just like, wait, what? Can we get a job description on that?
Yeah. The secretary of state's the weird one.
Yeah.
The other one makes some sense. Chief of staff. Like, that's kind of a business
but
term.
But we already had a CEO and a CFO and a president. So what exactly does the chief of staff do?
It's so funny. Like, whenever you're giving somebody a promotion, but you're not really giving them a promotion, you just change the name of their title and give them a little bit more money.
Well, they always say in banking, you get the VPs and the big, big titles because you don't get any money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the banking business.
Huh. The one that sticks out to me is whenever all of a sudden in college football, all of these CEOs of culture popped up.
Uh-huh.
I think Ed Reed might have been the first one in Miami, or maybe he wasn't the first one, but he's the first one that I can remember. I think, wasn't Vince Young He was on staff.
One of mine was going to be Matthew McConaughey, yeah. Who is the Minister of Culture
in Texas.
I was going to mention Jack Easterby, because wasn't he the Minister of Culture also?
Not that I'm aware of, but Jack Easterby was another guy. Well, you guys just mentioned the changing of titles with the raise, and it means nothing. Easterby had that towards the end before he eventually got fired.
Yeah.
But yeah, Matthew McConaughey is the Minister of Culture at Texas.
That might be the best my answer. One. I forgot about the minister aspect of
yeah.
it. Because I remember the CEOs of culture, but he was the Minister of Culture. That's yeah. even better.
And what is it now? What's the key new term for college athletics with overseeing NIL and all the sponsorship dollars for athletes and stuff like that? Because in college football, you never have a general manager. But there's a certain business term from other sports that college is now using for the guy that kind of... Because the guy that DeBoer just hired at Alabama has that title, and I was like, wait, what? Oh,
yeah, they all have, like, liaisons that are in the NIL game, but I don't remember the title.
I don't know the title of that, yeah.
The 2180, I honestly thought the run prevention coordinator title was held by the Texans offensive line without Mixon. Great joke. Not too bad.
Give it a 6-8.
Give that one a 6-8. 3338, how is a third base coach preventing runs? He's not even on the field unless we are trying to score runs. Well, that's because he's also the infield coach. He's going to be working at the defense on the infielders. He's responsible for two different jobs. He's responsible to coach third, and he's also the infield coach. Gary Pettis was the outfield coach.
Yep.
Gary Pettis was the outfield coach and the third base coach. Like, they always have multiple jobs. I think Dave Clark's going to be the new outfield coach and first base coach, and then Tony Perestica is going to be the third base coach, and then the infield coach and the run prevention coordinator. I've never seen this in my life. Any other weird ones that you've seen?
The one that this is, I think, has become kind of common now, but the one that always struck me as weird, that I think this was mostly college football, but I saw it in the NFL too, but the get back guy. I don't know if that guy ever had any other responsibilities, but there was always the get back guy that was responsible to dragging the coach back to the sideline.
He's usually the strength coach.
That, and there's also there's always the guy that is like following the coach around, like trying to keep him from tripping over the wires that are connected to his headset. There's always like that guy that's got to wrangle the wires on the sideline. That's always a weird job.
Usually the equipment guy. You don't see that as much anymore because now they're all wireless.
It's more wireless.
There was one the other day though that I saw that still likes the wire. I think it might have been Harbaugh.
Oh, really? Oh, that makes sense. He's
old school. Quirky. I think it was Harbaugh. Yeah, I think there's still a coach that uses the wire. It's like, hey, it's 2024. You can go wireless now. 7308, not sports, but sometimes I'll tell one of my employees that I am promoting him to VP of parking lot cleanliness before making them go out and sweep the parking lot. That sounds kind of demeaning.
It does.
It
sounds condescending. You go clean up the parking lot, and I'm gonna call you the VP of parking lot cleanliness. I don't think you're tricking anybody there. 7308.
Just ask him to clean up the parking lot.
Yeah, I think you're being a little demeaning. I wonder if your employees like you. Do your employees like you? 7308. I almost fell on the ground when Chief People Officer was created. I don't remember that one. Austin, do you remember Austin, the guy who texted that in? I don't.
What was it
Chief People Officer?
I don't know that one
for the Texans.
I don't know. Is a senior executive who manages an organization's human resources and culture.
Oh.
So I think this is just like in the business world. It's CPO, Chief People Officer. I've never heard of that one. Now, I'm not in business, so maybe I shouldn't have heard of that one. But yeah, head of PR at a company. So is Laura Beavers our Chief People Officer? I would say that she is.
Oh, for sure.
Because she's senior executive, manages our HR culture. This says compliance, employee relations, work environment, benefits and compensation, HR process, retention and growth. Yeah, Laura's our CPO. She's our chief
people
officer.
Talk about the lifeline. She handles the money and the HR stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty much got the pulse.
Yeah, she's the chief people officer of the ESPN 97.5. 5010, isn't Deshaun Watson also known as Little Towboy? Depending on who you ask. Yeah. 3413, what is Andre Johnson's role with the Texans now? I think he does have a weird title.
The one that I was thinking about if you're looking it up, from Alabama, was that DeBoer brought his general manager from Washington to Alabama, and then someone tried to poach said general manager, and they and I was like, when have there ever been a general manager in college football?
You're starting to see that pop up more.
Yeah.
You're starting to see that pop up more. Like, they have the control of the roster and all of that. I don't think they actually have control. They're not more important than the head coach. But I've seen the general manager used more and more in college football and basketball, but it's rare. It's not very – you don't see it too much.
Build and foster relationships essential to the success of the program.
Now, you think that's NIL, or you think it's like somebody who's helping out with like roster management in terms of roster size, scholarships?
I think it's all inclusive, I think there's probably an emphasis on the NIL money and the things that the kids get.
My employees like me because I'm patient and empathetic, and I buy kolaches and breakfast tacos on Fridays. I guess if you're buying breakfast tacos and kolaches on Fridays, I guess your employees are okay with you calling them the VP of parking lot cleanliness. I think that is fine. I think that's okay.
Yeah, they call you CEO Happy Belly. For feeding them.
I like to eat. The newest title is Chief Experience Officer. Give me a break. See, that one's tough because now you're taking away the CEO.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not the CEO job, though. Like, I don't think that the Chief Experience Officer is the head honcho of the company.
No.
So you're a lower-level CEO is what you are.
The other one, say that again, the exact title? Because
Chief Experience Officer.
They have those in professional sports now, but that's all the fan-related things, from the fan council to, like, the game presentation to all the different fan experience
stuff.
I know,
we just got to get a different
– They always,
it's a different
it's
acronym,
just,
though.
It's like the new thing to
do. I know. I don't know how I feel about that one. But, yeah, there's some weird ones out there. But this is the first time I've ever seen in my life – a run prevention coordinator in baseball. It makes sense. We'll see if it catches on.
Well, we know who to blame if they don't prevent
Joe
runs
Spotter.
This year.
Oh, Tony Perestica.
Yeah, it's on him. Blaming.
All right, BZ Money. Killer Bees hand you winners each and every week. We've been dominating. We've been rolling. We've been hot. We're going to hand you winners when we come back. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I make money moves.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
BZ Money. Killer Bees have been killing it at BZ Money. They've been dominating BZ Money. You know who's in first place now of the three of us?
No, I haven't tracked that.
Brian, you're the one who does track this.
I know.
Yeah, because you were up
big
early.
I was making a joke of it.
Yeah. Your boy. J-Bone, first place.
J-Bone for the win.
J-Bone in first place. Brian's at second in 7-5. And in dead last bottom of the division, the worst in the hive, Blankers. All the Blankers
is
6-5-1.
Like by one game, right?
Yeah, we're all above 500.
Yep. We're 3-2 last week, $80. We won the big money games last week. And we're up to $1,180 plus
180.
We did. But Brian did send us his games. I think
you just faded one of my picks and the other one lost.
That you were 0-2 last week?
I was 0-2.
Did you win the faded one?
We only played one of them.
No, he was 0-2 last week.
Oh,
but we faded one of them. Yeah, we were on it. All right, Blankers, what's the first game that you're selling to us?
I can't. That's why I was asking you which one.
Which color are you?
Green.
Atlanta at Tampa.
Yeah, I like the Falcons over the Buccaneers. I like the fact that the Buccaneers, without their two best receivers, I think it's going to be a struggle bus for them. I know that Baker still has a propensity for throwing it to the other team. And I think Atlanta has looked pretty good. And I think they continue to get better. And I think that they have all their weapons. And I like the Falcons at Tampa Bay.
I don't really know what to expect in this game. Tampa Bay is without They're without two of their top two receivers. Godwin's out for the year. Evans is going to be out for a few weeks. I kind of like their young guys, though. Like, I still think it's going to take
enough
time. I don't know if I like them enough. Plus, I think we're going to see more running back there. I think we're going to see all three of those guys play more. White, Bucky, and then Sean Tucker. I still don't think it's enough. Remember when these two teams played on Thursday Night Football earlier this year and it was a track meet? Kirk Cousins threw for like 8,000 yards. On the road, I'm leaning Atlanta slightly. I'm with you, Blanker.
Slight lean to Atlanta as well. I don't think, obviously, Cousins not going to throw for 500 yards again. They're going to have to win this game on a lower level. But because Tampa's top two receivers are out, I think they do. And I think they win by 3 to 4 points. So I would go Atlanta to cover.
I like Atlanta, but I like it small here.
Yeah,
I'm not
with
too
you.
Confident.
I'm with
How
you.
Much you want to bet here, Blankers?
25.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Atlanta minus two for 25 doll hairs. First game I'm going to sell to you. By the way, y'all took all the games I liked this week. I had four games that I liked this week, and I was.
Come out.
What's that?
Someone already had two picks in when I picked mine.
Well, who's the one that always likes to go first?
Who, Brian?
Yeah. Oh, why do you think he was in first place for so long? He had first
pickets.
We all
have the same he access
cherry
to the pickets. Google Doc.
He was cherry picking the games before we were. There's only four games that I liked this week, and y'all played them all. So I had to get a little bit creative here, kind of like what the Astros are doing with the
So we have a lot of faith in these picks.
I'm telling you that beforehand because I'm a good teammate. I'm looking out for the best interest of us all. I don't like the games that I'm picking. But I will start in Cleveland. Jameis Winston's going to be fun, but he's not winning games. Jameis Winston's going to give the ball away. The Ravens are rolling. The Ravens' offense is very good. Yes, they're giving 8.5 points on the road against a division rival. Do not care. Baltimore wins this game by double digits.
I think that's too many points. I didn't like the points. I think Baltimore definitely wins the game. I could see him win it by a touchdown. I stayed away from it because I just don't like – I think it's too many points.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. And Jeremy told us to fade him, so I'm going to fade it here. It's too many points. I'm
Do not
pass.
Play. What is the first game you're selling to us, Ryan?
First game, I'm going to keep it here in H-Town. I'm going with the Texans -5 to actually cover the -5. DJ told us the Texans, I think he said he thinks they might win by 20. I obviously don't need all of that, just need 5. I think the Texans take advantage of that terrible passing game from the Colts with Anthony Richardson not being able to hit anything. And Joe Mixon dominates the game. They win it by 7-8 points to cover the -5.
It's a divisional game, which worries me, but I hear you and I heard what DJ said. I believe the Texans win this game close to a touchdown, so I'm fine with it. I don't want to go big on it, but I think I like the Texans.
These two teams play close games. You look back at week one, Colts didn't have Josh Downs, and you only won by 2. Jonathan Taylor coming back from an injury. Now, he was healthy in week one. Anthony Richardson stinks. But you look at the Texans' wins. You get rid of one of them at the Patriots, which the Patriots are terrible. They beat the Colts by 2. They beat the Bears by 6. They beat the Jags by 4. They beat the Bills by 3. I don't want to have a double whammy of emotions on Sunday. I don't want the Texans to lose and be like, oh, no, we lost money on BZ Money. I don't like this game. I'm staying away from this game. I think the Texans win, but I think they win by like a field goal. So I'm personally out. Y'all can override me.
So I, yeah, Joel, it sounds like Joel, you're with
what's
me.
What's the spread we locked in?
It's five.
Five.
I give 20.
Okay, yeah, 20. 20 on the Texans.
All right, second game, Lakers.
My second game is the Packers and the Jags. The Jags won, but so what? They beat the Patriots. And I think the Jags are frauds. And I think, you know, Green Bay.
They've won one game. How are they frauds?
Because people, I mean, I just think that because they beat the Patriots.
You know, they have to be thought of well like to be good fraud, teams. Though.
No, I think that it's the fact that Doug Peterson didn't lose his job because they got a win. But the fact is they beat the Patriots, so they still suck. But you know, people are like, well, their offense put up a lot of points. It's still the Patriots. I think Green Bay, and the last number I saw was 4. But Green Bay is going to beat the Jags home or road by more than 4 points. I like the Packers.
Yeah, I haven't won by at least a touchdown. I'm on the Packers side of this, too. It's Same. A long way to go. It's far, but I think the Jags are bad. I think the Packers are good. I think the Packers' offense is going to do bad things to that Jacksonville defense. Bad, awful, terrible things to that Jacksonville defense. I think the Packers roll.
Yeah, same here.
40,
50? I'm in agreement. Let's go for it.
50?
Ooh, that's a lot.
It's your team.
It's your team.
But you guys
put your money
at it.
This, Joel.
Your call. I
we'll, go, we'll go 40 because he's in last place. He's in last place.
That's true. We got to
play last matter. Place. Wins and losses.
All right, second game that I'm going to sell to you with zero confidence at all. Miami's at home against Arizona. Miami's giving.
That's not
your game. I usually associate myself with red, but I'm blue here. It's not my game. I'm going to go up to Boston. Go up to Gillette. Patriots are getting 7 points at home against a dysfunctional train wreck of a team. New England has Mayo that needs to win or he's going to get fired, according to some people. Maybe. I don't know. Patriots cover the spread. Patriots +7. Cover the spread against the Jets. I think the Jets win, but I think the Jets win by 3 or 4. Pats cover against a dysfunctional team known as the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets.
I think the Jets win this game. I think they're going to still try and make a statement. I think they've been trying to make a statement now for a couple of weeks. And even with Devontae Adams, it didn't help them win a game with a disastrous second half. I'm leery of more than a touchdown, winning by having to win by more than a touchdown if I'm the Jets. Rodgers was iffy, but he's going to play. I think I always expected him to play. I don't know how limited he's going to be. But the offense should be better with Devontae having another week under his belt. They are dysfunctional, man. I mean, I think the Jets win by at least a touchdown, but not much more.
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars just beat this team by, what, like 16? So I don't have a great lean either way. I'm pretty fearful of it. I'm fine with playing the plus seven angle, but it would have to be a small bet.
That's fine with me.
I don't want to play it.
Then let's not play it. All right, we'll pass.
DMP this one.
Okay, we'll pass.
I don't want to play this game. I'll pick the games that I wanted. All right, Brian.
My last one is the return of Tua. Miami Dolphins minus four at home against the Arizona Cardinals.
It's Jeremy's game, isn't it?
I thought I'm red.
Yeah,
I'm usually red.
Tua, I saw an interesting stat that apparently Kyler hasn't won back-to-back games in like something like 23, 24 games overall. They obviously won last week against the Chargers, so I think they not only lose this week, but they get rolled. Miami's at home. Tua, they get all the weapons are there. I think the Dolphins are going to put a big one on the Cardinals.
I like the Dolphins here. I think they've got a lot of ground to catch up on, and they want to get Tua back right as quick as possible. I think they're going to – no governors open up the offense. And I mean, Arizona's okay. I know some people had higher hopes for them and predictions than others. I just don't believe in Kyler Murray. And I think the Dolphins are going to roll as well. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I have the Dolphins winning this game by four.
Exactly four.
Exactly four.
You have it as a push.
Yeah, I didn't play this. I played so few games this week. I really did. I'm not being hyperbolic or funny. Like, I'm being sincere. This is a game that I stayed away from. I had it exactly as a push. The Branham metrics have Miami winning by four. So if you guys played, I'd want it to be like 25.
It's fine.
25? You want to go 20 or 25, Brian?
25.
Okay.
All right. So we're on very, very timidly. Miami minus four for $25. Atlanta minus -2.5 for $25. Green Bay minus four for $40. Do the Packers have a saying? Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Oh, really? Go Pack Go. They stole that from the Cubs. Go Cubs Go. That thing?
No, they didn't steal from the Cubs.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
How sure?
You're talking to a partial team owner here.
Yeah, but when did they start saying Go Pack Go? I mean, did the innovation of that happen in the early 20s? That's a very sophisticated thing. I don't think that came into like the 70s or 80s. All right, Green Bay minus four for $40. Houston minus five for $20. That's what the Bees are on. All right, let's get to the car wreck of the day. What are all the mean things that you've said to us, that you've said to each other, that other people have said to other people? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to the break, a quick minute here for Underdog Sports. And if you follow along with my picks last night, I missed out on my big seven-player pick on Cooper Kupp. Didn't do quite as well as I thought, but no big deal because unlike season-long leagues, the losses don't have to linger with Underdog Sports, and I'm jumping back in tonight to make some money with a Rockets Pick'em entry. Pick'em games at Underdog Sports are awesome because you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and much more. So where do you think it tonight? You think Şengün goes higher or lower than 19.5 points against Memphis? He went higher in the last game. How about higher or lower than 30.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists from Jalen Green? He missed out by just a half of one of those stats last game. So I'll take higher on both. Give me higher on both. And don't forget, while playing Pick'em, that with Underdog's double flex option, you can take two L's and still have your entry be a win, or cash out a winning entry early by just tapping the Win Now button to cash out your entry whenever you want. And with that type of flexibility, why would you play anywhere else other than with Underdog Sports? And don't forget, it's still Boostober from now until October 27th, where you can boost your profit on all NBA entries by 20%. Underdog is literally giving you unlimited profit boost to make basketball picks. So download the app, sign up now with promo code BMAC, that's B-M-A-C, and deposit to get up to $1,000 of bonus cash instantly. That's promo code BMAC, B-M-A-C. Must be 18 plus and present in state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
World Series Game 1 coming up after us. We'll be listening to every pitch of the World Series, Yankees and the Dodgers. Let's get to all the mean things that you said to us. 713-780-3776. These weren't all mean things that you said to us. It was mean things other people said to each other. Like Derek Jeter? Derek Jeter said mean things to A-Rod and Big Poppy on the set of television.
Day off yesterday, travel day, day off for some of us. Derek, how was the day off for you yesterday between 5 and 6?
Yeah, it was good. I was in Miami. I took my girls to the Taylor Swift concert.
So
I
got way!
I did. I got a chance to hang out with a bunch of teenagers and toddlers, very similar to what I do here at Fox.
I love it, baby. I love it.
Well played. Well played.
There you go. Derek Jeter.
I thought it was fun.
They're ripping each other. That's a good co-host do. They make fun of each other. They rip each other. They make fun of each other.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. Respectfully. And Jeter taking some shots at the Big Poppy and Alex Rodriguez. And next up on the mean things you've said to us. This was something that Paul Gallant tweeted earlier today. Apparently somebody was not too pleased with Paul Gallant singing on the show. So they texted in. They said, "Tell that inbred R-word, Paul Gallant, to stop singing into the bad word microphone. He's making a mockery of your station. Shut the moron."
Gee, someone's taking this too seriously.
Someone does not very... I mean, they just don't like Paul singing. They just don't like Paul singing. 8217 earlier said, "I didn't have my phone when you were discussing that burner account yesterday. My guess is the account owner is David Gal." He's ripping, well, me. Specifically, Honey Glaze Branham, only way LeBron is going to score any points in the NBA is if LeBron holds him up with both arms, Simba style. I did hear somebody the other day saying that the only way that Bronny was going to score is if LeBron picks him up and lets him dunk over the rim. That's pretty good. All right, we got to get out of here. World Series Game 1 coming up. Thanks to all of you for listening and saying mean things to us. He was Brian, doing all the hard work today. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the Yankees and the Dodgers in World Series Game 1 up next on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.